The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
You want to see a split personality? This is us. Multiple personalities right here. Just me and my old self right here. Can you decide who you want? Who do you want to be? Anybody? Just look at one another and say, who do you want to be? I mean, is this honestly, is this look at your hair?
Bible teacher Beth Moore, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today, Wednesdays in the Word. I am Randy Robinson. This is my lovely wife, Debbie, and my parents are taking a break, but I know you're here to hear what Beth has to say as she continues the teaching encased in grace. And let me tell you, it's a real good message you're about to hear. So let's go hear Beth as she continues her teaching.
Listen, this is what God began to show me. I've told you before, I'm a very visual person. So I have to kind of work things out sometimes, acting them out so that I can see some of my own behavior. And this is what I began to notice. I began to think about how often I have carried around my old person of sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to let this dude right here, this is going to represent for us our old person. This is the old, if I'm in Christ, this is the old dead me. I'm to reckon myself dead to this person that was in all that bondage, that was in all that self-destruction. I'm to be dead to that. And listen, if you're like that old person, look how freaky your hands are. Do you honestly, is this what you want for your life right here? And not only that, but you can't even hold your head up. If you're in a lot of shame, you can't even hold your head up. This was me, and I realized how much of my life I've just walked around with this thing. Everywhere I go, I don't just take my new self. I go, where's my old self? I got to tell you, and I got to make sure everybody knows that this was me. And I'm not saying there's not power in the testimony. There is. I believe in a testimony. No, I did more than bring my testimony. I brought my old self with me. And I was ashamed of it and showed it and brought it and testified about it and carried it around with me. We sit it next to us. Everywhere we go, can you scoot down one? Because I'm going to have my old person with me. We put our arm around, we pet it. We're so used to it. I mean, this is company to us, this old destructive person. So we just take it with, we drive with it in the car. We just drive with it about 85 miles an hour. We drive with our old person of sin. We take it with us to every family reunion. This baby, oh yeah. Yeah, because once I get around the people that I acted that way with originally, oh, this just comes right out. This just comes right out. Because if I know people knew my old shameful self, then it just brings it out in me again. I mean, I'll see them. I can see that they're still thinking, you haven't changed at all. So you know what I act like? I haven't changed at all. Is anybody getting this with me? I've done it over and over again. Do you carry around your old dead self? Because this is it. This is it, and this is what we do. This is what we do. Take it all our holidays. This spends every Christmas with us. Every Christmas with us. Every Thanksgiving with us. Every family holiday. Goodness knows we take it to our 10-year reunion. I mean, because, you know, they're so used to it. This is all they saw. God forbid that they'd see the new me, because this is my old group, so I got to take the old me. And then we, like, here's something else we do. We, like, throw it at our spouses. Like, When I'm mad, I mean, this person, I'll pull this person out. And this is, that's the person I'm going to throw. And you know what else I do? If you'll just forgive me, I'm going to need you to kind of pull it. Because you know what else I do? I make somebody else responsible for my old dead self. Oh, yes. You carry it because, Mom, you're why I have this old dead self. Now, I need a dad. Dad, here you go, because you're why I'm like I am. Am I anybody? Am I talking about anybody but me? I'll put it in somebody else's lap. Anything. Just carry it around. Carry it around. I'll make sure people know this is what you did to me. This is what you did to me. We'll just like, carry it on our backs everywhere we go. Just like this. Just show up just like this. At the front door, somebody opens the door. Here we are. Here's me. Here's the both of us. This is what, listen, you want to see a split personality? This is us. Multiple personalities right here, just me and my old self right here. Can you decide who you want? Who do you want to be? Anybody? Just look at one another and say, who do you want to be? I mean, is this, honestly, is this, look at your hair. You cannot possibly want to be this. You cannot, and look, what this dude needs self-tanner, something. Okay, I gotta show you something else, because this is the big one. This is the big one. We're just like, this thing will be just about to die, and we freak out. Because we might not know ourselves like this. We might not know ourselves victoriously. So you know what we do? We'll just start, let's just give that thing. Yep. We're just gonna give that thing CPR. Let me tell you something. Nobody, is everybody with me? Everybody? Nobody is playing God more dramatically than people trying to resurrect the dead. Your old self is dead. That self-destructive part of you is dead. It is over. It is finished. It was finished the moment Christ said those words from the cross and gave up his life. It is finished. It's finished. Listen, the heart massage we give this thing, y'all, because we just still have so much cherished sin, so much sympathy for some of the old places of defeat we've had, and what we don't understand is this person right here would have killed us and sent us to hell. I need somebody to deal with me on this. Because this right here, we've got all this sympathy for, and we keep wanting to bring back and carry with us everywhere. That right there was going to send you to hell. This is what you had coming. That right there is your murderer. And Christ has put it to death, because it was going to put you to death. And I'm alive in Christ. And I am this me. I am not this me any longer. And as long as you have got that in your head, if what we could accomplish in our present series is to get the mentality of what we're doing when we keep carrying around that old self, then let me tell you something, we're about to get some freedom. Because this is the picture. That's what it looks like. And that's what it looks like with everybody we're showing up with our old dead self to greet. Constant CPR to the very side of us that nearly killed us. We are trying to resuscitate a murderer. The old us is any part that was dominated by sin, whether that's bitterness, anger, any area of sexual addiction, anything that has held us, that that life dominated by sin, that is under the old self. To get this mentality all the way down in our belief system, where it does not pop out on occasion, but we live out of it, would change everything for us. Do you know what impact it would have on the people in our sphere of influence if they saw us living in the true freedom of Christ? if we ever could get it through our heads, how much he loves us so that we could love others with that same love with which we have been loved. That we would be able to have compassion for people out of the compassion that Christ has given to us. When this starts happening, there is such a ripple effect of witness and power. People are drawn irresistibly to Jesus Christ. That's what happens. Made a couple of points together, and we've got a fourth one to stack onto it, and the fourth one is this. Let's quit trying to resurrect the old dead us. Let's quit trying to resurrect the old dead us. Need a scripture for that? You write down Romans 6:6 somewhere beside it. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We're enslaved to sin to the degree that we believe that old person is still us, and it is not. It is not. I want somebody to be able to say to your old self, who named you Lazarus? Amen? Who called you Lazarus? I am not calling you back from the dead. You get in the tomb and you stay in the tomb. Because what we're doing is we're just like, it's our old self is in the tomb there, and we just keep rolling away that stone, rolling away that stone, rolling away. Who called us God? Because we're trying to resurrect someone that is dead. The new us has victory. Law. Humility, because she or he knows he didn't deserve it. Unmerited favor. This is where the freedom comes. This is where the freedom comes. Okay, so I got to tell you, when this message first began to work itself up in me, I threw out this scripture, Romans 6:6, reckoning our old selves as dead so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. I pitched it out on the blog, and so I said, okay, friends, this is what I want you to do. And I laid out the concept. This is what Romans says about us. Our old self is dead, and that we're to reckon ourselves as dead. We are to think consciously that that old self is dead, and I am now alive and new in Christ, living out of a whole new mentality and a whole new belief system. So I said, what I want y'all to do is I want you to write your own obituary for your old self. And so, gentlemen, I'm so mad because I didn't bring any. I only have some that I wrote down that the women wrote, but a man could have written any one of these. And I'd love to hear some of you guys return back with some of your own obituaries about your old self. Because do you reckon it dead? I mean, enough to where you could write an obituary about it. This was how this one died. Now, I just want you to listen to a few of them because I found them so fascinating. This was one by the name of Kayla. In what was one of the least likely and most unexpected events conceivable, former Kayla passed away on November 17, 2010. In meeting her abrupt end, death swallowed her completely, not even a remnant of her remains to look upon. But before you are tempted to grieve the end of that life, I must explain that the former Kayla was wrought with misery and despair all the days of her life. A slave to self-harm, she awoke each morning with the utter disappointment that her heart was still beating. She was clothed in loneliness and shame, a victim of abuse, and a staunch atheist since childhood. There was no light in her, no spark of joy or love or peace, plagued with thoughts of suicide year after year, wearing a mask of I'm really okay, just starting to slip when she finally met her unexpected end. After turning to drugs, alcohol, any form of self-harm available, she finally decided it was time to let go and leave this earth. But mere weeks before she could take her eternity into her own hands, someone infinitely greater and more valuable and perfect in love decided to strip her of her identity. In the course of mere hours, former Kayla was completely replaced. The new Kayla, the daughter of a king, fully loved and forgiven, free to love her God, herself, and others, stands transformed in the place of that old life. A new mind, a new heart, an entirely new purpose now stand in triumph as a result of Jesus' ultimate sin, conquering death, and resurrection. How about that? How about that? Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, can y'all stand two more? Because I'm kind of picking them because they've got some differences to them. The Edwards family is pleased to announce the passing of older sister Susie. She was a stranger and a foreigner who somehow thought she was so much better than others, particularly those dirty sinners who smoked and drank and cavorted all night, even though she herself had many secret sins. But her outward sins were the worst, judgmental attitude and critical spirit. Poor thing. She was totally blind, but she thought she could see. She was miserably lame, but she thought she could walk. And she was a despicable sinner who thought she was good. So you can see how there really is no remorse at her passing. No one misses a Pharisee. And she was that, if ever there was one. One more. I love this one because I know the woman that wrote this story, and I'd heard her tell it personally, so it's jumped off the page at me. I think you'll be blessed. The church service took an unusual turn that hot Sunday morning in 1985 when the worship pastor's wife died. She left the choir loft in full bloom, looking the same as always. But at the end of the service, the woman the church once knew was gone forever. What couldn't be seen by the eyes of the congregation or even the tender eyes of her own husband was the heart of a hypocrite, a heart of pride. After years of being a pastor's wife and faithful church member, and of course, the ever-present AGG, I didn't even know what that was, always good girl. I was so far from always good girl, I didn't even get AGG. She finally died that morning. She'd been battling multiple symptoms for quite some time, but chose to ignore them with her good works. Her death that day couldn't be limited to one cause. She goes on to describe it a little further, but here's the ending. Her former life of religion was replaced with redemption. The church was shocked. Many chose not to believe she had died. This is my favorite line. Some even expressed that she never even looked sick. But her death was very real. Although she was a young woman, she was sick indeed. Is that so powerful? The reason why I wanted to stick that one in here is because, listen, some people will say, I love this. There's nothing wrong with this person. And you're going, listen, that person's killing me. Killing me. You like this person because this person is enslaved to you. Anybody? This is a very convenient person for you because this person right here will let you abuse and misuse them to the last minute. No wonder you like the old me. You can manipulate the old me. I want to be free. Free to love you. Free to really love you. I want to be free. Because people will tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, you're just like dying in it. Dying in it. You'll try to tell somebody in a really personal moment of truth that you've got a drinking problem, and they will tell you that you don't. You'll just be going, but no, I think I do. By the time somebody is confessing a substance abuse problem, are we really going to talk them out of it? Killing us. Didn't even know we were sick, but we knew. We knew. We knew.
What a wonderful word about the grace of God and how it can be shown in our lives when we learn to receive His grace. I want you to meet someone who exemplifies His grace. I think she's going to inspire you as much as Beth has, but in a different way. Will you watch as we introduce someone to you, a young girl named Monica? Please watch this.
Over the years, Monica's always been in special ed. Her speech has always improved because there was a time when she was very young, we didn't even know if she'd ever say her name. We didn't know if she'd ever learn to write her name. This is who Monica has always been since she's been a small child. This is just the first time we've stepped out and let her be herself. She has watched Life Today over and over again, but for some reason, when she saw this mission project, she was really captivated.
She told me, Pastor David, I want to do this for the children. And she was just bubbling over with excitement, with joy.
The morning that Monica got up, on the stage and ask the church family for help was just an awesome feeling for me.
And believe it or not, she stood up in front of this entire church of 300 people and made that same plea to help the children have shoes.
For Monica, it was never about how much money she had raised. I don't think she understood that part. She wanted to know how many children were getting shoes.
And it was amazing, the response. Every Sunday, she would stand in her commons area with her basket, and people would come by and just fill it up. And believe you me, Monica embodies that kingdom of God. She made this church come alive for mission.
She had collected a total of $6,000.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Through all this, I now realize that she has been able to express herself using her own voice and her own words, and not just to one person, but now all around the world. I mean, did I ever think that she would be able to do this? No, but God did, He knew. She's been passionate about it, and she has done it, and she has changed so many children's lives just because of her passion and her love to help someone else. And I just think that it's important that everyone knows that we all have a purpose, and no matter our mental ability or our education or anything, we all have a call and we all have something that we can do.
Please help us, children.
Wow, what a story. You know, Monica shows that anybody can do something that impacts the lives of others, not just those we give to, but those who watch us share God's heart. And really, I know it's early to talk about Christmas. I'm the guy that waits until after Thanksgiving to put up the tree. But in order to give these children the gift that we want to give them this year, we have to start planning now. So I hope you will partner with us as we begin to celebrate the greatest gift ever given in Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. I want you to partner with us and give the simple gift of shoes and smiles. When we give a child a new pair of shoes, not only do we give them something that makes them more comfortable as they walk around, I mean, a lot of these kids, it's the first pair of shoes they've ever had, so it's a big deal to them, but we also help protect them from disease. So we have a purpose in these gifts. If you can give a gift of $144 or more, you will help provide shoes for 40 children. That's a lot. We will also send you the wonderful Christmas shoe ornaments that you can hang on your tree this year. It's a great conversation piece. They're very nice in the way they're designed and the different colors. It's a great little piece. So we want to remind you of what you've done and thank you for partnering with us. If you can give that gift of $1,000 or more, I really hope you'll do it. You will be providing two surgeries for the cleft palates, not only providing that smile, but providing the ability to smile. It's a big deal. Christmas is a big deal. The gift God gave to us is a big deal. And your participation, like Monica's, it's a big deal, not just to the children who will receive these gifts, but I think to God's heart. He wants us to be givers. He wants us to be good stewards of what He's entrusted to us. And I think this is a great way, not just to share His love, not just to meet practical needs, but a great way to partner and demonstrate the love that He has demonstrated for us. So please, go to the phone right now, go online, make the best gift you can, and know that when you partner for Christmas Shoes and Smiles, you are helping to change the lives of children around the world.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pair. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red antique shoe ornament, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a special boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments from past years. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Betty, what do you think about all these beautiful feet and these beautiful children?
I think they deserve some pretty little shoes on their feet, don't you? And it's not just to give them shoes. It is to bless them. We want to bless them. But the shoes have a real important use, too, James. They can protect their feet from getting cuts and bruises and also from disease.
Well, we found out that hookworms actually get in the skin of their feet, just sometimes walking in dirt or sand, and then it actually ends up in their intestines, and then it can be deadly. Let's put shoes on all these beautiful children's beautiful feet. It'd just be such a wonderful gift to make at this time, and I hope you'll do all you can. Just give as many pairs as you can to bless as many children and their families as you can.
I hope you will do what you can, and please join us tomorrow on Life Today and next week's Wednesdays in the Word. Thank you for being with us. If you haven't checked out my book, Rise Above, it's available at Life Today. We'll see you next time.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today. Best-selling author and teacher Lisa Turkhurst, tomorrow on Life Today.
But saying yes to everything won't make you Wonder Woman, it'll make you a worn-out woman.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.